Hello and welcome back to Betch Slapped. I'm Jordana.
I'm Aileen.
And here we are.
Yeah, we are. Yes. Okay, so this week, a bunch of celeb bachelor shenanigans went down.
Yes.
Well, the first thing I feel like we need to talk about is Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin are
technically married.
They didn't have like...
They got the license.
They didn't have a small wedding, which everyone said they did, but they just got a wedding license.
Right. Doesn't everyone get a wedding license right before they get married?
Yeah. So maybe they're probably planning some like secret getaway.
What are your thoughts on this whole marriage debacle? She's 21, he's 24.
Well, I read that the reason why they got engaged was because she was pregnant.
Is she?
Yeah. Not anymore. And then those paparazzi pictures of Justin crying hysterically in the middle of a walk and she's consoling him is because I think she lost it. Again, I read this like off some like rumor sites. And okay. It was supported by our employees.
Right. Well, the reason they gave was that they were like talking to their preacher.
Yes.
And they just had like, he made them like talk about some stuff before they could get married. And it just got them very emotional. Yeah,
he was emotionally about the wedding. But I think that was the other, it was that she was pregnant. They went to get married. Here, I don't know what it is, but I really like them.
I don't.
They seem... This is why I like them. Like, okay, Scooter Braun recently said that, like, I really thought Justin was going to die. He was, like, so fucked up. And, like, I thought, like, one day it was so bad that he was just going to never wake up.
The purple drink?
On the...
Scissorp? Sounds so cool.
You're so white. But then he got better. And now he's, like, he's, like, religious, like, into God. And they're, it makes me, their relationship feels, like, pure. I don't know what else to say about that. Like, she seems like just like a nice girl. Like, there's nothing crazy about her. She's just, I don't know. It seems
there's
nice.
There's nothing crazy about her because Justin's kind of crazy. She's like.
But he doesn't seem that crazy anymore. They seem so sweet together.
I don't buy it. I think it's too soon. I don't understand why they have to get married. Why can't they just date?
Well, that's an argument for any of these celebrities that go and rush into it
like immediately.
And because they need to spice up their lives.
Here's the thing. I'm reading this book for our other podcast, You Up, which you can catch every Wednesday at 5. And it's called The Five Love Languages, right? And the premise of the book is that the way people act when they're in love is very different than when they are just like loving. So like the idea of marriage is like supposed to come after this in love feeling. You're a much better person to the person that you're like with when you're in this in love phase.
Because
but that's not really like who you are and it's not who they are. So you don't, and like until you get to that point of like.
Wait, so it's okay to say that you're not really that like an amazing of a human after you're in the in love phase? Like that's an acceptable.
Yeah, you're just never, that's not who you really are. No one is like that. It's like no one is like acts the way that they are in love when the same way as they do 20 years into marriage. It becomes a different kind of love. Some would say it's even better because it's more about like being there for the person and doing things that don't, it's like, because when you're in love, you like want to do all this really nice shit for the person, but being like working on love and being like really and like in a real relationship with that is like loving is that has real love is about doing shit that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of being in love. Actually, like being in love like feels like euphoric and great, but when you're actually like
loving
each other. When you're like in a long-term committed relationship, it's after that in love period, that's when like you actually have to try, because you no longer, it's no longer like, oh, I just always want to please this person. It's more like you have to like go out of your way to do something that the person doesn't necessarily want to do. And I won't get into the exact five love languages, but it's really just about like you kind of like finding out what the other person needs to feel loved and to feel good, and you doing it even if like you don't really want to do it.
Okay, what your point is?
My point as it relates to this is that you shouldn't get married in that in love phase because you don't really know who someone is.
Yes.
You should be with someone for, I think they said that the average amount of time it lasts is between a year and a half to 2 years.
Yeah.
So that if you get married before that phase, you're still in that in love.
Like, yeah, my friend, we talked about this, my friend's like now husband who they like got engaged kind of in a year, 1 year.
Right.
He was really against getting engaged or he was a little, he's a little older. I think he was like 36 or something, but he was against like getting engaged even earlier than a year. But even he said like a year was pushing it, but he was so in love with like my friend that like, he was like, this is, she's the one, I've already been dating for so long. She's the one. It doesn't even,
right.
There's no one else.
And people say that, right.
Wait, but anyway, but they're happy now. They've been married for many years.
Right. I'm sure they do, but it's a riskier move. It's a much riskier move to do that.
But my point, what his point is like, but not less than a year, because you haven't seen the person in all of their like angles in life, like in every situation that has happened in that year, like holidays. How are they during the holidays? Saying, somebody's birthday. Like, how are they to your birthday? Or how are they to their birthday? Or like something is out to happen that's a little negative in 1 year, and you have to see how they cope with that.
No, I think that's very true, but it's not even just about like the things that are happening and how it's like the way you're that you respond to those things is going to be much better than the way you respond like once you're in a comfortable position of like,
yeah, once you're not wearing cute underwear,
right? Yeah, that's like that's like the real you, and that's like when you, what you're doing matters the most, because that actually requires effort.
When you're like, you don't give a shit what pajamas you're wearing to sleep,
right? Exactly. That's when like if someone asks you to like pick up their dry cleaning, it's not like first nature to be like, oh my god, I'm so excited to pick up your dry cleaning.
Don't get
for
it yourself, fucker.
Exactly. Now it has to, you have to like work at it. You have to like want to do it. You have to try.
Yeah.
So anyway, my thing with just with Haley and Justin is that they actually they're in love. So this is not a good time to get married because you don't really know each other.
Okay, I agree. I totally agree that all these like quick to marry like celebrity engagements are silly because they don't know each other and they're gonna break up. Whatever. However, I like Justin and Haley together.
Okay, fine.
Is what I'm saying.
I think I'll always have a soft spot for Justin and Selena.
I think Selena deserves better.
I think she does too, but like I don't like the idea of I'm upset on her behalf that he's moved on before her.
I see what you mean.
Do you know what I'm saying? I don't feel like it's justice. I feel like she should be like happily with someone.
But I almost feel like it shows that like a woman doesn't need someone else to move on. She's doing well.
So we think, yes.
Everything is so we see on from photographs. We don't know anything. All of this could be completely, the truth could be upside down.
We're just
down.
Completely speculating. Yeah. They could all hate, this is everyone in this scenario could hate each other.
This podcast is fake news.
100%.
Okay, let's talk about something else.
Okay, let's talk about this isn't our Bachelor podcast, but you should also watch.
You should all listen to our Bachelor podcast. It's amazing.
But
now
it's
that
actually off the air off season. Until
well, don't
January.
Forget January. You know how I remember that it always comes back in January? I think I talked about this.
January?
Yeah, when it was Juan Pablo.
And I am the one.
They said January 5th, and I was like, oh, it's always coming back in January.
Yes, and it was like, he is the one.
He's
like
the one.
They had a very big one.
I love that season. It was the worst.
And the best.
Yeah, that's
we had,
what I mean.
I feel like we had a lot of fun that season, like recapping it.
So much fun. But anyway, there's a lot of drama in the Bachelor Nation.
There is a lot of drama. So let's talk about first like Jenna and Jordan.
Yeah.
You haven't fully seen the most.
I didn't watch the last episode.
Right. Basically they seem like they're super in love. And then but right before the episode aired, this person that Jenna was, I guess, seeing, like released these texts that she sent to him.
While being engaged to Jordan.
Before the show, she told him she was going on the show for her career.
It was released the night.
Right.
It was released the day that the finale was airing.
Right. So and everyone got to like see these texts. And then after that, watch this finale where you can tell she's like full of shit. Although she is denying the fact
So you say with the text. So the texts are just like basically like screenshots from this guy that she's quote unquote like in love with, and like they're really all over the place. One minute she's talking about like sucking his dick, and then another minute she's just like, I'm gonna ruin Jordan's life, I'm just gonna make something up, I don't even love him, let alone like him. He's beneath me, all of this stuff, I'm gonna break up with him, pin it on him, say something he did something horrible, and I'm gonna come up on
top. I'm just here for work.
And yeah, something about her business and like starting her company, some shit like that.
Right. So she's claiming the texts are fake, which I don't really believe.
I don't believe it.
Jordan, I guess, broke up with her. He posted a model shot and then a long...
Wait, but on top of that, Jenna was supposed to come on the Bachelor podcast.
Right.
That same day was... it was, like, planned. She was all... She's all confirmed the night before. Mm-hmm. And then Reality Steve posted these screenshots who the guy sent. And then she, like, sort of ghosted.
Right.
And then finally she answered Derek, who's our co-host, Derek Peth. Peth Derek. he laughs that I said that. But... she said, like, I'm sorry, like, I'm not allowed out of the house.
Right, I have to, like, talk to my lawyers or something. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about this Reality Steve article, actually, is, like, he's, like, because he prefaced it with, like, usually like all these things and all these tips that I get are about these like guys who are being these like fuck boys and like fucking around all these people and like everyone hates them, and that most vast majority of the stuff I publish is about that.
Yeah.
So this is like an interesting twist where it's actually like the girl who's like in it for the wrong reasons, who like isn't actually there to find love and who is playing with like all these guys. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was also like an extra little like interesting.
I
liked it
because I mean, I feel like there's so much truth in that. It's not only the guys.
Right.
All the women are out there looking for Instagram followers. Right.
I think maybe they are. I think when I think of it, I think they're all looking for Instagram followers, but the girls are like genuinely more looking for love than the guys are.
Maybe.
I just get that. Maybe it's just because like, I don't know, stereotypes or whatever, but I just kind of feel like the girls are definitely there for the followers, but I do think that they're like, they get much more invested in these relationships than guys, or you think they do. Mm. Also when, not that this is going to be a full recap, but when Camille broke up with Annalise on the stage, that was like the most like,
I can't believe I missed up that.
And entertaining thing that I've ever seen. I highly suggest you watch it. It was like, blew my mind, and like everyone there was like, oh my god, this is so fucked up.
I can't believe I didn't watch that.
This is so fucked up.
Now I need to watch it.
You have to watch it. It was like the best part of the season.
Yeah. But anyway, so Jake, who's Jake? Jenna and Jordan are now officially broken up, and justice for Jordan.
Yes. He had already asked Chris Harrison to officiate their wedding on the beach next year in Mexico.
But it also made me think like how much of an actress could she be that he felt like it was genuine, you know?
Here's the thing. I don't think he's particularly deep. So I don't think it was like, that's what none of these were. The concept of getting engaged to someone that you've known for like 8 weeks
on that
is
note.
Like completely absurd in itself. So yeah. Like, yeah, none of these people really know each other very well when we're talking about marriage or getting engaged. That's fucking crazy. Like no one should be getting down on one knee and proposing to anyone after they've spent their entire relationship on a beach. Like,
yeah, here's the thing. I'm thinking about this. Like, not to like change topics, but also stay on topic. You know how like they say when you know, like you love at first or right. Whatever. Like, just to use myself as an example. After my first date with Rusty, I like, I was drunk, but I remember saying to myself like, oh, he's totally the one okay. Who I'm now engaged to.
Okay. Have you ever thought that about any other guy?
But I was a child.
Okay.
You know what I mean? In a real way. I went on lots of dates. I had boyfriend, like another boyfriend who I never thought that. I went on so many dates before him. Mm-hmm. And no one after my first date did I feel like that, right? But then again, I was with him for 4 years until we got engaged.
Right.
And so I think that if I had gotten like married to him 8 weeks in or something, we would be divorced.
Right. You might be like, I made a huge mistake.
Yeah, like Job.
Right.
Because Job Blues.
Right. And make the stakes are so much higher.
I would be because I don't know myself then.
Right. Or him.
Exactly.
Really. Yeah.
I don't know my, like, I also don't know, like, I'm a different person than I was 4 years ago. Like, and you just want to see how, like, just each other is, like, grows together. But the main difference is that, like, you go through all these, like, peaks and lows, and you're just like, I don't know if he's the one. But once you're married, you're just like, fuck. You know what I mean? But you're not. You're just sort of like sticking it through. And then once you've stuck it through so many times, you're like, this is totally solid.
Right. And we know how, like, it doesn't mean there's not going to be lows and highs, but you know how to, the point is that you've been through so much with the person that you know what to expect from them. And someone's therapist was actually telling, someone was telling me that their therapist said, they said the best relationships are the ones where each partner can like anticipate how the other one is going to react, and like the way that they like would like to be like informed of something, like being able to like have that. So that's like really knowing someone is like, I have something to tell you. Maybe it's something you don't want to hear. How am I going to present it to you? When am I going to tell you? Like, I know, I already know how you're going to react to this. And this is how I'm using my knowledge of how I know you to like relay information in the best way.
Yeah.
Right. Whether that's in fighting in like any other.
Like anything.
Right.
It really has to do with anything. Like, I want to pick up food. This is what I'm getting. Like, no, it's, you know how I want, like, you know what
you
I mean?
You know that's not something you know that I'm going to be fine with.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to, your food's on your own. Like, you know that bothers me. You didn't ask me about my, you know what I, like, you have to just know how the other person works and like sort of move together.
Exactly. It doesn't mean people can't like surprise you, but in general, like, and that's why time is so important is because like you really like you can't just know someone the way that someone would react to something if you barely like
in 5 seconds
know who they are. You can know like a little bit about their personality, but you don't really
it
know
like
them.
Reminds me of like getting married to your like camp boyfriend after one right. summer, and like you go home and you're like, what, that this is not my real life,
right? Or like, who is this person? I've never seen them outside of camp. Like right. what are they like when they're not at the waterfront?
Yes. Lake or canteen.
Exactly.
Okay, wait, other things in Bachelor news, more even faster news,
right.
is that Becca M, the child,
23.
Is no. sorry, I don't mean to say the child, but basically she was the whole one that where Ari was saying like
right.
she wasn't ready to have a baby because she herself looks like a baby. No, I'm just kidding. Was like sort of immature, and she is now pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, it was what, like 4 months ago that her mom was declaring her a missing person because she didn't answer her phone for like
what
a
was
day?
She doing like in a weed farm?
She was at like a marijuana farm,
which is great, but still, I mean, she looks happy.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll be fine. Sure.
We'll say sure.
I mean, like the baby's gonna be here.
I think she got married.
Did she? I think we were speculating that she did. I don't know. Is it official?
I don't know. It looked like
I don't know. She's one of those. I mean, we had her on a podcast too. She's one of those people who she was really nice. She seemed pretty funny, pretty chill. She's one of those people, I have to say, that kind of like. Is at that post-college age where you think that you know
everything. Yeah, we can really
and
relate
we
to
used
that.
To be those people, so we can insult it. And once you're like, once you hit like 25, you're like, oh, I don't know shit. That was weird.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't personally necessarily have a baby before that, but I'm sure she'll figure it out and she'll be fine.
Like you're just literally slapped in the face with a huge reality. Right. Check.
Do you remember graduating and just being like, oh, I know like how
we
the world
wrote a
I know
whole
how the
book.
World I know how the world
we
works
wrote,
it's right there.
We wrote a whole book called How to Win at Basically Everything at 23. Mind you, it's a hysterical book.
It's a great
everyone
book.
Should read it. It's called Nice is Just a Place in France, How to Win at Basically Everything. But we wrote it under like the feelings that we were so smart and knew everything exactly. and no one else knows anything.
If you want to know like how like wrong our 22-year-old brains were and how much we thought we knew, pick up Nice is Just a Place in France.
You know what else you should pick up or pre-order is our brand new, our third book. Our second book's about dating. Since we've been talking about dating, you should also read that. But our third book is called When's Happy Hour? Work Hard So You Can Hardly Work. It is a career-focused book. Super funny, super lighthearted. We talk about how
also
we started
informative.
Betches. Very informative. We really, not to get all like emotional here, but we really, really appreciate it if you guys can pre-order it. It makes a huge difference for us. We want to be New York Times bestsellers again for the third time, and it makes a huge difference.
Please.
The book comes out October 23rd, so if you can pre-order it before then...
Anywhere books are sold.
You can also go to betches.co/WHH and then screenshot your pre-order. Tag Betches. We'll put it on our Insta story. You can tag either also the two of us. I'm looking for more followers. So just you know, to be honest.
Less than the Bachelor. Might not as good as much as The Bachelor, but.
Yeah, you can see my Facetune photos
you
and
you know,
mediocre
you
pics of my dog. So like just anyway, do that. We love you. Okay.
Let's do an email.
Dear Betches.
No, I just have a lot of feelings.
Okay.
I'll read the first one.
Go for it.
Hey, Batches, so much praise for all you do. All your media is so relatable. My media. And makes navigating through my early 20s is much easier. Your hilarious podcast also helps me through my 9-to-5. Speaking of which, I'm 24 years old and currently work at an ad agency in Chicago. I've been slaving at the same desk for a little over a year now. I'm leaving in January to go to work /backpack in Australia for anywhere between 6 months to a year with some friends.
Sounds fun.
My company gives crappy pay, but good perks. It's all about the perks, Michael Scott. One of our perks is getting 7 paid days off at the holidays. Here's my dilemma. It's in a perfect world, I want to put my 2 weeks notice the day I get back from holiday break. That way, I'll get to Australia to meet my friends as soon as possible while also making more money. Not only will I get the money from the paid days off, but I'll get money from the extra 2 weeks of working I put in from when I put in my two weeks notice.
Yeah.
So that's an extra month's pay for working half the time. I'm not trying to milk twice the pay for half the labor. I'm just trying to work as long as I can before leaving for Australia, and the timing is unfortunate. At the same time, I, of course, feel shitty for getting all those paid days off, then quitting. I don't want to leave a bad impression on anyone that I've worked with because of future job recommendations, etc. I work really hard at my job, have taken charge of planning social events for my office, and have gotten great feedback from mentors that I work with. But my company has struggled financially in the past year. I had to go out of my way to ask for a performance review and a raise, and my salary would definitely be a lot higher elsewhere in Chicago. If I wasn't going to Australia in January, I'd be seeking greener pastures regardless. So my question, should I quit my job before the long holiday break and just suck up the loss of pay? Or should I quit after the break, even though it's morally incorrect and could hurt future job recommendations? Also, if I know I'm leaving my job further than 2 weeks in advance, should I let my employer know so I can help a new person transition, etc.? Or keep it to myself, lest it makes my work life weird or they let me go earlier than I want? Part of me is like, business is business, but I also don't want to burn unnecessary bridges, plus the karma.
Plus, like karma.
I especially look forward to hearing what you have to say from the point of view of a CEO / supervisor. Thanks so much for all your fortune cookie wisdom and everything you do.
Oh, this is rough to see it from both perspectives, because I do.
Right. Because I'm trying to think if someone did that here.
I want to know how big this company is.
Right. That also depends. The bigger the company, the less
they give a shit.
The less fucked up this is.
Yeah. The less people notice.
Right. If you're like one employee and you work for one person, that's obviously pretty messed up.
Or like even like 10 people. If either right. they notice you, they know you. Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing here is your future job recommendations, because if you go to your next job after you come back from Australia and you're like, yeah, I can't give you a reference, they're going to wonder why you're not going to get any jobs.
Right. I mean, I think that everyone has to give you a reference, don't they? They just be like, you were fine, which is essentially saying you weren't fine.
No, but I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, you'll be like, if you burn them.
Here's what I would do. I would give them a lot of notice. I would say, not 2 weeks. I would give them like
1 month.
1 month, maybe even more. Because then, if you're giving them more, and you're saying you want to work 2 weeks, she wants to work 2 weeks past this period, or she wants to quit immediately after she gets back for the vacation.
No, she wants to give 2 weeks
when she gets back from vacation.
Yeah,
I don't. Okay, I think you do it 2 weeks before the vacation, and you say, I'm leaving in a month.
Right.
Because then you're giving them a month's notice. You're still going to get paid for those days, but you're also letting them know. And if they want to handle it differently, you're giving them that option. But you can say, I can work for this long. I want to help you find a replacement. Yeah. I want to give you a lot of notice so that you're not stuck.
The other thing to consider, though, is that I want to know if you have ever taken any other PTO days. Because if these are your own, you worked there for a year, you deserve 7 PTO days, right?
Well, she's saying everyone gets off these days.
Yeah, so everyone deserves them, right? Like, mm-hmm. But I just want to know, like, if she's taken advantage of whatever.
Right.
Vacation system they have, then probably you shouldn't take the PTO from Australia for the holidays. I think that would be a nice thing, and I think that you could like, but I agree, you know what I mean?
Right, you can offer at least to be like,
yeah, but I think you should do it in advance. Say, I'm here, I really want to work, I want to train the next person, I'm going to do everything I can.
I think
to
a make month's this, notice is nice.
Yeah,
like if you're on good terms with the company, a month notice is basically like, especially because you're not going to a different company, you're going to Australia, so it's also less of like a burn. You could be like, I'm not like, I love working here, I don't want to leave you guys like without someone to replace me. I want to help you find someone and like train them, and so like everything runs smoothly. So I want to give you a month, and like I know we have that paid, like the whole company has those paid vacation days, so like you can let me know like how comfortable you are with that. I'd be happy to like help you with anything you need to get done before that. And then when we get back, I'll make sure that everything's running smoothly before I leave.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, okay. Great. I'm glad. Let us know how that goes.
Yes.
Reader.
Yes. But we'll be right back, because we do want to talk about something else that's very important, which is Talkspace, which, I mean, we were just talking about like therapy and relationships. And honestly, like, I have a therapist.
Right.
And like, you can talk to them about anything from like relationships to work problems to problems with your friends. And like, they're great. I think everyone should have one.
I agree. Well, so one of our sponsors is Talkspace. It's an online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist, not just like talking to Sammy, from anywhere at any time. All you need is computer, internet, or the app. And especially if you're super busy, it's really, really helpful.
Right, because you don't have to like go into an office or like, and there's someone there who can like text you and talk to you every day.
Like if you're in the midst of like a breakdown, you can like text someone and somebody will be, and it's not like your friend who's like partially biased, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. Everyone should have an objective person in their life that they can like, who's licensed and like knows how to like work through issues. And you can,
And therapy doesn't always have to be this like, so why do you think and how do you feel about that? Like the what did your mom do to you that you are this way? It's not, it doesn't have to be about that. You can like learn little behaviors or little tools to get you through your days. And as again, a person who is in therapy, this has been super, super helpful. Just little tricks.
Right. So the Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges that we all face. To match with the perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/betch and use the code BETCH to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show as well. That's BETCH and Talkspace.com/betch to get there.
Okay, so let's get to the second question. Second Dear Betch. I'll read this one. Dear Betches, love the pod. I have left my conservative Southern views because of y'all and what? And I'm so grateful. Girl power, equal rights, all the things. Okay. Anyway, I need your advice. I recently left a 3-year relationship with my emotionally abusive boyfriend. The relationship was a toxic environment and he isolated me from everyone, friends and family. Because I'm out of that environment, I want to hang out with my friends again and establish my independence and a good girl gang to support me. I've tried reaching out to all of my friends who I've kept in contact with. I even went as far as reaching out to my ex's friends, girlfriends to hang. No one seems to respond, even when I send them a message in our group text. How do I rekindle these relationships, or are they a lost cause? If so, how does one go about making new betches? SOS lonely betch.
Okay.
Wait, should we give some background info? Background info. I'm 22. All my friends are from my sorority who have since graduated. I live 30 minutes or approximately from all of them. My ex yelled at me and verbally abused me when I would see them. Oh my God. Good job breaking up with him. I'm still in college and I've tried to make friends in my classes, but they are all adult learners, 35 plus.
Okay. So I think the main thing that you're missing here is so you haven't really spoken to these people in a while because of this relationship, right? So you don't want to just contact someone like that you kind of like lost touch with or who you had like negative contact with and just be like, hey, want to hang out? Because that person's gonna be like, fuck you, what, you broke up with your boyfriend, now you want to hang out with me?
Yeah, there's always that girl,
right? Well, what you want to do is like send like a real sincere message to people that you like think you did really care about, that you really did, that you are actually hurt, that you're no longer in contact with.
And don't send like one boilerplate message to everyone.
Exactly. What you say is like, hey, ex, like, I wanted to say, like, I'm really sorry for like the fact that like our friendship has kind of drifted apart when I was dating this guy. Like, it was kind of like it was a little bit of a toxic relationship and it was very tough for me to see people during this time. And I'm sorry if you felt like I cut you out or if I wasn't speaking to you as much. I would really love to like get together and talk about it and catch up. And like,
I would do this to one person and I would hang out with them.
The most important person.
Yeah. And then because that person's going to get this message and message someone and be like, hey, did you get this shit? You know what I mean? Right. And they're going to talk shit about you.
I wouldn't send out a mass text about it. I would send it to like the one person that you actually felt like you were closest to, that you actually feel the worst about the fact that you're no longer in contact with. Because no one wants like, the most annoying thing is for someone who like has like who has kind of wronged you or who you feel may have wronged you to just pretend like nothing happened.
Yeah.
So you want to like be real. You want to be like addressing what's going on. Because if you're just like, hey, want to hang out, and they know you broke up, they're going to be like, oh, if there's person's using me because they're not in a relationship anymore.
There's always that girl in high school. Remember, she would like have a boyfriend. She would stop talking to you.
Right.
Like your friend. Like she would hang out with you all the time, like you and your friends. And then like she would find a boyfriend, either it was through your friend group or like some other way,
right?
And then they broke up, she comes back, hey guys, what are you doing? What? Exactly. And you're like, no, bitch.
Yeah. And that gets annoying. But if that person was like, hey, like I know I've been like a little bit of a shitty friend, like I kind of let our friendship, I haven't really been focusing on a friendship, and like and I'm upset about that and I'm really sorry that I did that to you. And I think if you say that in a really sincere way, the person is much more likely to answer your text instead of sending out a group text like, who's free tonight to like hang.
Because I feel like the underlining thing is that when two people are talking, like if you're not calling out like the elephant,
right?
Like you're not being self-aware. It doesn't matter what the elephant is. If you something you did that's shitty, or the other person, you're calling out the fact and you're saying you're sorry. And like, I realize I've been a shitty friend. That person's like, all right, well, I can't say anything. I'll hang out with you.
Right.
Or unless you've completely done something shitty that you're not telling us to this person.
Right. It just sounds like she like didn't really like put that invest that much in her friendships while she was with this guy. And maybe it was this guy's fault a little bit. But yeah. also like, I mean, that is also a choice on your end.
And then something you could talk about when you like meet up with them.
Right. Just have a real conversation, but definitely don't go into, I wouldn't go into it the way you're doing it. I don't think you necessarily have to make a whole new group of friends. If you did find those friendships like fulfilling and meaningful, then you should just be real and apologize and try to get back into their lives in probably a small way at first. You can't like expect someone to be like, oh my God, we're best friends again immediately if you haven't spoken to them in 3 months.
Yeah.
But you know, put your foot in the door, be real, and I think it should be fine.
Be real. Be real. Okay. Wanna play some games?
Let's do it.
Okay. Would you rather your mom be Becca M or Kylie Jenner? I have my answer.
Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
Because she's, I don't think she's gonna be a better mom.
I think she's a great mom.
Really?
Yes.
Why do you think she's a great mom?
Oh my God, I think Kylie has the answer to, I think Kylie, okay, we, Sammy and I talked about this in another episode when we totally understand what Kylie means. I don't know if we talked about it in DST or The Last Bitch Slapped, but we totally get what she means by 27 or 2018 was about realizing things.
That was 2016 was about realizing things. No,
it was 17.
Things.
It was 17. Was it 17? Yeah. We like get what she's like, I think she's a great mom. She's always said how badly she wants to be a mom. And like,
she doesn't take care of that kid herself. That's what I'm saying. Help. Like, I feel like a Kylie Jenner would hire me the best fucking nanny and I'd have the best nanny.
She wouldn't only hire you the best nanny. She would hire you like an army of nannies.
No, she definitely, the best group of, the best team. Jenner would hire me village to raise. To raise me. But there's no way Kylie Jenner is changing diapers or doing any of that shit. She definitely like picks the baby up for a picture pose. And I know this because I do this with my nieces. So I know the move. Where you're like, you pick the baby up. You like put it in like the exact like maternal nurturing position that you want it to be put in. You make sure the pictures are taken, and then you give it You give it right back to the person as soon as it starts making noises or requests.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, like, but again,
oh, that's so true.
I would have a much easier life. I might have. I think her kid will still have some issues with like.
Every kid's going to have issues. Any kid that's now a baby growing up on Instagram is going to have issues. Okay.
Also, their name is Storm. Her name is Stormy. Who was telling me is Alexa. I read Alexa was telling me about, like, she was talking. She did some sort of interview with
Kylie
Travis?
Or Alexa did it?
No, Kylie was did an interview with Travis. And she's like, you know, like, Travis, like, which of these dogs is my favorite? And he's like, I don't know. It's like, and she's like, they all like kind of rhyme with Stormy.
Oh.
Forgot what it was. Another.
I don't know. I just love Kylie.
Like the way she named the kid was just like, she had like a group of like rhymes that she had with her dogs. And then now like the kid also rhymed with that name. Whatever.
Whatever. Okay. Give me the next question. All right.
Would you rather your parents be Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson or Hailey Baldwin and Justin Bieber?
Oh my God. What a hard question.
It is tough.
I think Hailey and Justin.
I think Ariana and Pete, actually.
Oh, interesting.
I feel like Pete is like very doting and he'd be like a good dad. I feel like he'd be like a little obsessive, but I feel like he would like really care.
I think Justin is like so obsessed with his like cousins and his nieces or whatever. And
aren't
he's
those
like
his like siblings, his like step siblings?
Sorry.
Or half siblings?
I don't know who all the children are.
Justin's
Instagrams.
Dad has like a few kids.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about Hailey and Justin that seems so pure and like just loving to me.
Why you think they're so pure?
They're just, I don't know. Maybe it's because they're so blonde. And like Ariana and Pete are very dark. And like they are.
Okay.
Like they're very like.
Physically?
No. Like they're like their comedy. His comedy's dark. Her like Instagrams are very dark. Like her music is a little bit.
I mean, like, it just means they're like more insightful and introspective maybe.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I think Pete would be a good dad. I feel like he's obsessed with Ariana, and like the way he treats her is probably how he treat like a child.
But I think Justin would be just as good as a papa.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think
I feel like he would not be. He'd be like, he's not mature enough.
Well, he was about to be recently.
Oh yeah.
Who has more money? Justin or Ariana?
I think Justin probably has more money than everyone else on this
okay list. Well, then I'm choosing Justin and Haley, because again, if still, you can't
but,
raise me,
but it's not that much more, it's like not like Ariana and it's like you're living a different lifestyle. Correct. He just has more money, but I don't think it's gonna make you this me as their child any happier.
I guess I might want rather be a Baldwin is really how it's gonna
is
end.
That right, instead of a Davidson,
a Baldwin. Yeah, a Baldwin, yeah. Bieber. Email us if you agree, yeah, disagree, because this is a really hard question.
Slapped@edges.com. If you have an email for us, also email us at slapped@edges.com. All right, last shoe fuck Marys may seem kind of random because it doesn't have to do with any of the stuff we talked about, but I was just thinking about it.
Okay, go.
Chris Pratt, Paul Rudd, Steve Carell, shoot fuck Mary.
Shoot fuck Mary, Chris. Paul Rudd. Oh, Steve Carell.
I know.
Who am I going to marry?
This is tough.
Okay, I am not marrying Chris Pratt because he and Anna divorced.
Yeah, I'm upset with him about that.
Very
upset. And now he's dating a 22-year-old.
Yeah, fucking annoying.
Oh, she was really nice.
So I would have sex with him.
Okay.
So we're deciding who we want to marry, of Steve or Paul. And shit, it's hard.
I guess I'd have sex with Chris Pratt. Like now Chris Pratt, not like Chris Pratt, like...
I would even
ago.
Have sex with Pudgy Chris Pratt. He would like be funny.
So exactly what you want, yeah, in a sexual, yes, partner. Hysterical.
Tell me a joke.
I think I'd marry Paul Rudd. He just seems like a good dude.
So does Steve Carell. Come on.
And he's like very, I feel like.
And he's so funny.
He's kind of old though. Compared.
Yeah, but he's hot.
Oh,
old.
Paul Rudd is still old. He just looks exactly
the same.
This is tough.
Oh my God. Oh my, I don't know.
I think I'm going to shoot Chris Pratt, have sex with Paul Rudd, and marry Steve Carell.
You just want him to slap in the bass while you have sex.
With Paul Rudd, yeah.
Okay, I think I'm going to marry Steve Carell because I can like take office jokes all the time about the
I'm
office.
I'm sure he loves that.
All the time.
There's probably nothing he hates more than anyone talking to him about the office or repeating a Michael Scott quote. I'm sure he just gets that like constantly.
I don't fucking care. We do it all every day of our marriage and it's going
to
make
You're
us
just gonna
more
have
happy.
To deal with it.
Yes. Okay. That's been the episode, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget betches.co/WHH. Pre-order our book. We'll love you forever. Screenshot it. Put on your story. We'll re-insta story.
We'll re-insta story it. All right.
Okay. Bye.